Now, she wasn't playing around. Let's get ready to hear a word from God. Amen. Come on, I'm coming in hot, fresh off the press on the first service. We ain't slowing down now. We're going to pick up the pace that much more. I done rebuked Satan out of the sound equipment and everything else. We're going to get rolling straight into this thing. I tell you, welcome to Thrive Community Church. My name is John Hudson. I serve on the creative communications team here. I get to do transition and things like that. And then every now and again, they'll let me bring the message. They may not after today, so it's okay. Hey, we are going to have some fun in the house of God today, but I also believe that God has a word for us, and I came here today on assignment. So I just, right now, Lord, I just ask you, God, to remove me, Lord God. Remove my words, Lord God, and download everything that you want to be released to your people today, and do what only you can do, God. Turn my words into something great, and let it land on every heart of every person here and watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We are starting a new series. Skeptics Wanted. We're starting a new series. I was hoping y'all were going to be like, yeah, new series. Come on. Okay, let's try it again. We're starting a new series today. Skeptics Wanted. Amen. Whenever I first got the message about kicking off, it's the first time I got to kick off a new series here, so I'm excited about it. And when I first got the message, I thought it was Skeptics Welcome. And I was like, man, that's cool. It's so great. But then I seen the deal for, what is this called? What would we call this? The graphic. I saw the graphic and it said Skeptics Wanted. I said, man, that is so much more powerful than just Skeptics Welcome. Not only does God welcome you as a skeptical person, but God wants you and he designed you and created you to be a skeptical person. Let me tell you, I'm a skeptical person. I have been for a long time. If I told you all of the conspiracy theories that I believed, y'all would kick me out and run me off and never let me back in the doors again. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, if I told you everything that went on in this mind, y'all'd run me out of here fast and in a hurry. But I'm here today, and I get to bring the message today no matter what. So let's go. I'm ready. Are you strapped in? Are you ready to receive a word from the Lord today? I hope that you're ready. I hope that you're ready. Man, God created me as a skeptical person. I didn't grow up being a skeptical person. I actually grew up in a very loving household up until the age of like 10 or 12 when my parents separated and got a divorce. I never seen my parents fight. I didn't know that adults fought. I didn't know that marriages, people in a marriage fought each other. I didn't know any of that because all I seen was two loving people. They hid it well. Amen. I know they did it, but they hit it well. And now I know that they did that, you know. But they hit it well. I didn't know that things, that life was like that. I didn't know that I was a poor white kid. I had no idea that I was a poor white kid. I didn't know. All I knew is that my mom told me that we couldn't afford that game system. We couldn't afford that stereo system for my sister. We couldn't afford all those gifts that we asked for Christmas. And we woke up Christmas morning, and there they were. Amen. Santa Claus is real, baby. You know, I didn't know that we were poor white kids. Poor white family. Had no idea. And so I didn't become a skeptic until later in life. When I started realizing, man, not everything is as it seems. Not everything is as it seems. And so then I begin to say, well, what else have I been, you know, not taught? What else was I lied to about, right? What else is out here that maybe isn't just what it seems to be? And I became a very skeptical person. I became a very skeptical human being, skeptical of people around me, skeptical of what people's plans were, what kind of motive did they have around me, against me, or to get to me, what did they want from me? I became very skeptical of people. It's the spit zone up here, amen. This is the glory seats. You know, if you need to be baptized, just come on down. Get on the front row. I'll take care of you this morning. You know, I became this very skeptical person. But what I found out is that God created me to be that way, because the more skeptical that I became of religion, of Jesus, of everything that I'd been taught before, there were certain things that I was taught was real, and I found out they weren't real. And then I was like, well, what else may not be real? And so I became very skeptical about all of these things, but God used my skepticism to bring me closer to Him. God used my skepticism to bring me closer to Him. Let me just put it to you this way. I would venture to say that skepticism is the leading cause of Christianity. Let me say that again. Skepticism is the leading cause of Christianity. See, some people grew up like me and they thought they didn't know what they were. Some people knew what they were. Their parents were drug addicts. They came from a long line of losers, and so they had been skeptical their entire lives. But there are other people who everybody in their family has been to college and has more degrees than a thermometer, and then they have more degrees than all of them put together. And even then, they're still skeptical people because now they're like, oh, what's going on in the world? And it's a crazy world we live in. And it's a crazy time to be alive. I tell you, it's such a crazy time to be alive that I believe that if Paul were here and was to write us a letter, he would be rebuking us for even having a social media account. He'd be like, y'all shouldn't even be on there. It's wickedness and fornication. Now, I believe that, yes, it's great, and we can use it to advance the gospel all around the world from one location, and there's great uses for it. One of the great uses that I find, that I really find entertaining to myself, is that sometimes when I'm scrolling through something, I'll find a church service, and I'm like, all right. And somebody's up there, and then all of a sudden, and then they're jumping like this. And then it spans and the whole crowd's jumping and somebody's running. All of a sudden they go, hoo-wah! And heavy metal music comes in and I die laughing at these things. I love it. Or they'll get to jumping and a rap song comes on in the background. I laugh at those videos so hard. I think they're hilarious. I find it so funny. I believe that God has a sense of humor. I know He does because He created me. Look at me. I said, look at my ears. I knew that God had created my ears this big for a purpose. Everybody else has to use tape. Not me. This microphone stays on here perfect. My ear, God created it just for that. He created me to do this. He designed me to do this. Amen. I got to look for it in the small or the big things. Another one of the things that I find really funny is church fails. Church fail videos. Somebody will be like praying. They'll be like, oh, Lord, just bless our farts today. Bless our hearts today. There was another one that I saw that I thought was hilarious. This one will probably get me run out. Lord, I just pray your blessing over everyone as we bring our tithes into the storehouse. Some of us brought all our tithes to the other place for a long time of our lives, right? To some kind of house. And now it's time that we bring our tithes into the storehouse of the Lord, amen? Hey, if you've seen another one, if you've got social media, chances are you've seen this guy this week. Usher, close the door. Close the door. I said, close the door, Usher. Now I want everybody in here. I need 1,000 people to give $20 right now. I need 1,000 of you online to give $20 right now. Everybody on stage better break out 100 right now. I need to see you moving. Come on, go, go, go. Let's get it right now. I don't know. I said earlier, I don't know. Maybe he was full of the Holy Ghost and maybe he was prompting everybody in there and they're a different church and they're a different breed and they need to be prompted that way. Maybe. I have no idea, but I know this. I don't see giving as an obligation or as something that someone's going to bribe me or force me into. I see it as an opportunity to walk in obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I walk in obedience by my giving and my finances and my giving, God blesses me. And it's a promise. If you're skeptical of that, Malachi says, test me in this. God said, test me in this. If you're skeptical about it, test me in this. And I have tested God in that, and He has been weighed approved. Yeah. He is not wanting. He has been weighed approved. My life and my finances and everything that God has done for me has shown me that you can walk under the hand of blessing. Absolutely. Through obedience of giving. But I will say this. I believe that people are sick and tired of veneer worship. People are sick and tired of veneer Christianity, of veneer religion, of fake religion. Let me just put it that way, fake. I'm not as eloquent as Pastor Nathan, so let me just give it to you like a redneck that I am, like the Texan hillbilly that I am. People are sick and tired of fake worship. They're sick and tired of fake churches, fake pastors, fake preachers, fake Christians getting online. Their profile has a list of accolades, but their life is void of character. God, even, I'm a bright person. I like to wear bright clothes, and I love color. I love colorful things. I'm a colorful guy, you know? I'm a fun guy. A lot of people say, yeah, he's a fun guy, all right. But I love color. I love fun. I love bright. I love exciting. But even yesterday, God said, I want you to go buy something all black. I want you to buy black jeans, black shirts. I want you to dress in all black. I believe that he did that today because he was saying that you need to go into mourning. You need to go into mourning for the state of what my church looks like today. You need to go into mourning for what the state of the social media Christianity looks like today. You need to go in mourning. Watch this. Catch this. Watch this. You need to go into mourning for your own sin, John. I sat right there this morning and God began to roll things through my mind, prideful, arrogant, you know, and I was like, what is this, pick on John Day? I know all these things. I bring them to you, you know, like I know all these things. Well, I know these sinful things that, you know, and I was like, what is this, pick on me Day? He said, no, I want you to understand I've still called you. I've still qualified you. You got to bring those things to me so that we can address them, and I'll teach you how to become better. I'll teach you how to deal with those pride, deal with that arrogance, deal with that lust. I'll teach you how to deal with the things as long as you'll bring them to me. Don't hide them from me. You can't hide anything from God anyways, and nobody wants to be a part of somebody's life that's just constantly trying to hide who they really are. It's time that we bring the things that we are, the most desperate part of our heart, the most wicked part of our hearts, we need to bring it to Jesus and say, here it is, God. Here it is, Jesus. Now, will you teach me how to work through this? Rich or sinful preachers, we see these, you know, the crazy thing about that one video I was talking about with tithes and the guy saying they're going, the comments that I read were just wild. And what the world says, so many of them comments were, yeah, just another money-hungry preacher. You know what? There was things said about me whenever I pastored a church. It was said that I stole money from the church to go on cruises. There was so many things that said that I misappropriated church funds to do things in my life. We didn't have any funds to misappropriate. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what funds? Where's these at? You know? But there are so many things that people will say about you, whether they're true or not. Let's get out of the drama and get into the presence. It's time that we look in this Bible as a mirror and begin to say, God, I want to look like Jesus. I need to look like Jesus. I need to change my world. I need to change my family. I need to change my community. How do I do it? I need to look like Jesus. Use it as a mirror and reflect your life as it is in the Word of God. I want to share this before I move on. There was a time in my life that I was so skeptical of the church. I had messed up. I had been on, I was raised in church. I was in church my whole life. About 16 to 24, I was kind of in and out of church. But at 24, I decided I'm giving my life right. I'm going. I went to rehab. I was an IV meth user. I was way out there. And I remember a day where I was so skeptical of the church, that I so skeptical of preachers from my own interactions with the church, from my own interactions, my personal private interactions with pastors. I was so skeptical of the church. I didn't want to call anybody when I found myself wrapped up in the same old sin one more time again. I'd been clean and sober for about a month, and I went out and I messed up. And I didn't know who to call. I definitely didn't want to call my mom. I definitely didn't want to call my wife. So I called one of my best friends, Larry. I said, hey, I need you to pick me up. And all I could expect was, man, I just can't believe you've done this again. The last pastor I told anything about my sin to, he actually cussed me out, told me he would beat my, you know, and all of this stuff, and just cussed me out. And I was just, I didn't even know what to expect anymore. I was so skeptical of what a pastor looked like. And man, he come, and we rode all the way to the house. There wasn't much word said, but he turned around and looked at me. He said, I hope we never have to have this conversation again. I love you. I'll see you in the morning. It's time that we love people the way Jesus loved people. Amen. It's time that we get out of our self-righteousness and step into loving. It's time that we step into our self-unrighteousness and bring it to the presence of Jesus. Jesus, here it is. I'm messed up. I'm messed up. There's my introduction. I just want to give you a few topics like I already have and a couple more. Those weren't really, most of that stuff wasn't even in my notes. I knew God was going to breathe on this thing today. I've been under heavy spiritual warfare this week, and I knew God had a message for each one of you here today. And I just pray that God does what only He can do and transform it into something to land on the heart of everybody here. Only Jesus can do that, and He'll do it. One of the biggest skepticisms that people have is that the Bible, men's hands have been all in it. Men wrote that. Men took parts in and out of it. Men translated it to benefit them. And people will use anything. They'll use anything to try to discredit and discount what they don't understand. But I'm going to tell you, just like there's so many people that come from where I came from, just poor. I didn't know it at the time, but I did come from a long line of losers. I didn't know that growing up. After I grew up, my dad was like, yeah, well, there's a lot of us like me, son, and like you. All of your uncles, your grandpa, probably his daddy for his daddy, and his daddy for his daddy, and, you know, and his daddy for his daddy died in the war. There's you some Forrest Gump. And then there's people that just come from intelligence and wealth, and it just naturally happens for them. Like, they're smart, they're able to, you know, people like me, I've had to apply myself and just really heavily depend on listening to the Lord throughout my life to get to where I am today. But in that search, no matter which background you came from, whether that was from a good background, from a rough background, as people begin to get skeptical about the Word of God and religion and all of this, they go and a lot of people will set out just to try to figure things out in life for themselves, whether that is this Jesus thing real? Some people will set out and say, I know Jesus ain't real and I'm going to disprove it. And then they wind up getting saved, a radical encounter with Jesus. Men's hands have been all in it. Differing doctrines and denominations. This is just another form of men's hands have been all over this thing. Right? I said earlier, it was a few years ago when I first looked up this statistic, but I looked it up again. I said it was 42. There's over 42,000 Christian denominations. I just looked it up. Now there's over 45,000 different Christian denominations in the world today. You tell me that men didn't get in and put their hands in it and mess things up. But I'm here today to tell you that no matter what your hands have been in, no matter what you've done in life, no matter what men have done to disprove things, to tear something apart, God said, even in 45,000 different denominations, I will be glorified, my glory will be made manifest, and I'll use 45,000 different denominations to bring that much more people to Christ. I'll bring that many more people through what the devil meant to destroy. What Satan meant to destroy, God will turn around for your good. But more than that, He'll turn things around for His glory. Let's see. Let's look at the scripture real fast. I believe this, that all scripture is given. It may have been written by men, but it was authored by God. It was authored by God. It was inspired of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And it's time that we get equipped. It may have been penned by men, but I'm telling you what, it was authored by God. God has stamped. There's no way that the many prophecies that were prophesied about Jesus over the span of thousands of years, and one man did it. One man. You don't understand. If you had half a brain cell, it could understand just a little piece of statistics. I can't even say the word, and I know it. For Jesus to do what he did and fulfilling all the prophecies that he fulfilled, it's an astronomical number that it should not have happened. You have a greater chance of winning the lottery 10 times over than for Jesus to fulfill all the prophecies that were written about him in this word. You can't tell me that wasn't written by God himself. Time to get a little more personal again. Been there, done that. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with skeptical people about religion, about their relationship with Jesus. Well, I've been there, I've done that. You know, my daddy was a preacher, and they just didn't live like they talked about they lived on Sunday. That was my kids. You know, my family did all that. You know, what's really sad, I skipped over it, but what's really sad is that those comments that I read about that preacher who was talking about giving me the $20 right now, there was two things that were predominantly said: money-hungry preachers and pedophiles. And they linked a lot of the two together. And it's pretty sad that that's what the majority of the world is thinking about the church today, is that they're a bunch of money-hungry pedophiles. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. That puts my heart into mourning to say, what can I do? What can I change? How can I respond to make people understand that that's not God? There are a bunch of terrible people out there, and it's true. And I've been one of them. But let me tell you, you can't put that on God. And it's time that we have to do something about it. You and I, we have to do something about it. We have to change something. I told you, I've been a skeptical person my whole adult life. But some of the height of my skeptical personality came from this right here. It's my house on December 24th, 2023. We lost pretty much almost everything Christmas Eve. And I went on a big time skepticism journey of my faith in God. It shook me to the foundation of my core. I kept saying, God, why? Why me, God? Why me? Why does this have to happen to me? Why is it, you know, and I even told God, like, okay, I'm a big guy. I can handle it. I can take it. I'll put it on my shoulders. But God, why? My family. Look at my kids. Look at my wife. God, this is destroying us. Why would you allow something like this to happen? How could you allow something like this to happen? I just don't understand. I don't understand. And I went on a journey of skepticism of my faith. I don't really even know. I don't understand, God. I've been trying to serve you. I've been trying to do right. I said, I know, God. I know that there was one thing that I did like 1 or 2 days before Christmas. That was wrong. Did you burn my house down because I did something wrong, God? You know, I would have asked for forgiveness if you could have just talked to me. Did you burn my house down because I messed up? Because I made a mistake? Because I sinned? Because I did something wrong? Just went on this, why? I was like, you know what? I turned so cold and so hard, I just sat down. I said, I'm just going to sit here and do this. I don't want to do anything else. I'm going to do this. This is what I want, not the Bible. I want to do me right now. Because I'm trying to heal right now. So I'm going to do me. I want to do what feels good to me. I'm going to do what takes my mind off of everything else. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do that. And my wife came along and she said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. She said, I'm not judging you. I don't care. You can do whatever you want to, but I'm going to do this. And she went on a skepticism journey of saying, why, God? Not like I was. Why, God? Why me? She went over and she started saying, why, God? Huh. Why did this happen? Now, at first, I know she was with me. Well, why? But there came a point where she just said, no, not anymore. And she began to ask God, why? What is the purpose in this? Tone changes everything. Why, God? Why did this happen? And she would get excited. She'd come to me and she'd say, hey, John, did you know that fire, when fire happens, it changes the landscape? I mean, God's doing something. He's trying to change the landscape of our lives. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's really cool. So I think God's trying to literally like burn off our flesh through symbolically through the fire. He came through with the fire. The fire is burning off our flesh. You know what the fire represents? The fire represents the presence of God. The fire represents the voice of God. The fire represents the Holy Spirit. Fire. You know what the fire, this fire, that. I was like, yeah, that's great. And God was speaking to her and God was showing her thing after thing. You know, and then one of the things that was really cool. As we went back, we were digging through clothes, trying to wash clothes that we had salvaged and things we had salvaged out. And every time you would dig through anything, you'd come out and your hands would be solid black. And you had to go wash your hands off. And I was so irritated by it. And then Kendall said, John, God's speaking to us through this. Look at this. Every time we go back and we look at it, we got to come back to God and we got to purify ourselves again. God's speaking to me through this about purifying myself and getting and being washed by His presence and being washed by Him, that no matter what's happened in our past, that we need to come to Him and that we can be purified in Him. And I was like, woo, come on. That's powerful. She just kept coming to me and telling me. And then one night in our bedroom, God showed up and God showed out. And through my wife, I had sewed into her for years. And I wasn't sure she was ever going to make it on the, you know. We had some really good years together. We've had some really good times together. We've had some good seasons together. But seriously, there was a while I was like, man, I just don't know if she's ever going to come and walk alongside me, you know? Like, are we going to get together at the same time and, like, really, like, try to move forward at the same time? And now I found myself, like, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. I want to throw a pity party. I'm skeptical of the whole situation. I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. And God showed up. God slammed me in my bed one night. He showed up. He healed my heart by the faithfulness of my wife to stay steadfast in prayer and loving me and supporting me even when I wasn't worth loving or supporting. She showed the love of Jesus to me, and she said, John, if it wasn't for you showing me the love of Jesus, I would have never known who Jesus was and how He loved. But you showed me for years, and all the years that I sowed into her, she began to sow back into me. And it took a friend of mine to tell me that. For me to realize that, Dylan began to speak that over me one day. He goes, John, you sowed into her, so now she's sowing into you. Bask in it. I let the Lord just minister to you through this. I'm going to share a scripture with you here in just a moment. But sometimes we go through this season of life, through the waiting, not understanding, through the skepticism of it all, so that we can get to this. God said, I'll take what the devil meant to destroy and use it for my glory. I'm going to tell you right now, this house is the house that the Lord has built. This is the house of God. This God is going to do great and mighty miracles in this house. It's been prophesied over me and my family and my house that God is going to show up and create an atmosphere where people have radical encounters with Jesus Christ. And it's already been happening. It's already happened a couple of times that people have begun to feel the presence of Christ. And I'm telling you that this is just the beginning for this property. This is just the beginning for this house. What Satan meant to destroy, I found out in post, like I found out just this year. Just this year, a lady pulled up into my driveway and she said, John, you know, I was thinking about this house, this property, and my ex-husband used to cook meth on this property. This was an old dope cook house. And I just said, God, there was something in my heart that I knew, that I knew that there was something to the property. There was a tree that it was living, but it had a lot of dead stuff on it. And there was vultures that would just stay in that tree. Like they had a nest there, buzzards, I'm hillbilly redneck. Buzzards. Hey, buzzards in my tree again, you know. Get the pistol, you know. I blow the shofar at them. I mean, I threw rocks at them. I tried all kinds of stuff, and them things wouldn't go. I mean, I finally just prayed over the land. I called my friend. I said, cut that thing down, dude. Justin, come over there and cut it down. Got rid of that thing. Them things don't even come around anymore. God told me one day my property was a wreck, and God said, if you want me to move, clean it up. I remember going over there, and I remember just praying, God, I just pray right now that you would cleanse this property. None of this was in the first service. I'm just telling you. This is something specific for somebody. There was death in the property. There was old things, old behavior, old habits, old demons that were just tied to the property from all the demonic and witchcraft and everything that went into all that stuff. That was tied to the property and connected to the property. And God just said, go clean it up. You want me to move on it? I was wondering why. Why the paperwork? Why did the lawyer's office not get the paperwork ready yet? It's been 3 months. What's holding them up? It's nothing. It's one little small contract. Why? 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Why? God said, clean it up. I went over there. I began to clean it up, and I was praying, God, I just pray as I'm cleaning this property, I pray that you would cleanse it. Cleanse this property. God, I don't know what's happened on this property, but I repent for what's happened on this property. At that time, I didn't know. I had my own, like, spiritually sensing that the Lord was an inner knowing, like there was some bad stuff that happened on this property. And I just prayed, God, cleanse this property. As you cleanse this property, God, I also pray that you cleanse my life, cleanse my heart. That's what it's like. That's what we need to begin to do. Lord, just cleanse me. Just cleanse me. I'm a wreck. I'm messed up. But I need you. I need you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Not that we cover up our sin like Adam tried to cover up his nakedness. God had to come along and say, no, there's a better way. He made a sacrifice of an animal and he covered him with that. That sacrifice ultimately became Jesus. Jesus is a sacrifice that covers our sin. Yes. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Yes. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. God, let there be no deceit in me. Let there be no deceit in my spirit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. That was me during that house fire situation. God, I was just groaning all the day long. And my bones were growing old. My beard got whiter. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. We go through these seasons where the hand of the Lord is heavy upon your life. We all love the seasons where we're like, oh, the hand of the Lord is on me. I'm prospering. I'm doing great. The hand of the hand of blessing of the Lord is upon me. But I'm going to tell you, there's great rejoicing in the heavy hand of the Lord being upon you as well. Because in that is where growth happens. In that is where you're faced. You are faced with decisions that you have to make about your life, make about your relationship. Who am I going to be? What am I going to do? You know, one of the other things that we struggle with, I know that I struggled with, and that was the fact that Jesus, who Jesus was. I had no idea growing up who Jesus was. I know who Jesus was that they told me, that they preached about and all of that. I didn't know the history of who Jesus was. I didn't know Jesus was a Jew. He's not Jewish. Like, a little bit of a Jew. I'm glad some of y'all got that. I really didn't know if that was going to land or not, but I'm glad some of y'all got that. Jesus was not Jewish. He was Jewish. He was a Jew of Jews. Jesus was a Jew. He was not white. He was a Jew. He's a Jew man, Jewish man. Man, let's learn. Let's grow. Let's go on a skeptical journey. God wants you as skeptics. He wants you. He designed you and created you to be that way. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You know, that's all he really wants, is for us to come and say, Lord, you know me, but I'm bringing this thing to you. I am bringing my messed up. The worst thing in there, you're not hiding it from him. He already knows. So bring it, literally bring it to him. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I will confess it. So bring it to him. Bring it to you. The most messed up thing that you can think of. Lord, here it is. I'm bringing this thing to you. You created me. This thing is here. And I'm ready to deal with it. How do I deal with this thing, Lord? You may be skeptical of a prayer like that, but I'm going to tell you, it'll work. If you're skeptical of things like that, I want you to try that out. Lord, here it is. I'm bringing it to you. I'm acknowledging this messed up attribute to you. I'm acknowledging this messed up sin to you. Will you teach me? Will you teach me how to get over it? Will you teach me? Will you teach me? Will you teach me? For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. I'm telling you right now, it's time. Now is the time that he may be found. Now is the time that we must go to God, because he may be found right now. He may be found by us. If we are seeking, if we are knocking, if we are searching, if we have a skeptical heart and a skeptical mind, let's search out. Let's seek out. Let's ask him for more. Ask him to reveal himself more. Ask him to make his glory manifest more in our lives, in our homes, in our cars, everywhere we go. Make yourself manifest to me, Jesus. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from troubles. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Amen. Let's see. Let's go on through. Yeah, go back and read Psalm 91. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Go read Psalm 91. Walk it out. Live it. It's all about being hidden in the secret place of the Most High of God. Let's get in his presence. Let's change the world together. Amen. If you're skeptical, right here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And for the skeptics that are out there, what do? Above all things, have fervent love for one another. If you're skeptical, you need to trust in the Lord in all your ways and acknowledge him. If everybody else is skeptical, you need to go and you need to love them. How do you fix yourself? You trust in the Lord. You get in His presence. How do you fix them? You love them. You can't fix them. You love them. Love them. Love. They'll know me by their love. They'll know that I'm in you by the love that you have for them. It's time that we use this as the mirror that it is and let it soak us. Let's pray in Jesus' name. God, we love you. We just praise you today. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and for this time, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would help us to mold ourselves, to allow you to mold us. Let's pray that your word would resonate in our hearts this week as we ponder on this, as we want to look more like you. Bless your word today and bless your people in Jesus' name.